Okay, today's daf in Masechet Chagiga, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Aleph. We got up to the two dots of Hararim HaTeluyim B'Sa'ara, and we got up to Mikra Mu'at Ve'Alachot Merubot. So, in the Mishnah, we listed those things that we went through yesterday that are considered to be hanging by thread, so to speak. Why? Because there's very little material in the Chumash that is merames to the sugya, and the sugya ends up being quite complex with many different protodinim, and therefore we want to see them as a special class of halachas. But the Braita speaks about some other things that weren't mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Tana lists negoyim and ohalot as also being an example of mikra muat v'alachot merubot, which of course is shocking. How can anybody say that negoyim? Anybody's tried to get through those two parshios? My gosh, two whole parshios that have to do with the dinim of tzoras, as Dr. Barry will be happy to tell you, in which there's plenty and plenty of material to sink your teeth into if you're a dermatologist. So, I mean, how in the world could we call the sugya of tzaras mikra muat, for heaven's sakes? Ask the Gemara, negoyim, you're calling mikra muat. Negoyim is mikra merubahu. Omer of Papa, achikama. Negoyim mikra meruba. But halachas muatot. There's very little material that is added to what we find in the psukim. I mean, as we saw, we went through negayim together. Whereas ohalot, there's not very many psukim about ohalot. There's a general dinim about ohalot, but whoa, there sure are an awful lot of detailed halachas. Okay, so why are you putting them together like that? I mean, I thought we were here in order to establish the various sets of things and how you made a list of them to the point where we got confused that you seem to be saying that Tazria Mitzera is considered to be not a lot of stuff. I mean, what's the point of putting them together now? No, the point is that it makes a nafkamina. That's what we're saying. My nafkamina. The nafkamina would be that you're learning the Goyim, right? So you're holding in the Mishnah, the Goyim, you've got a lot of sfeikas. What does this mean? What does that mean? So the question is, do you have a right, really, to analyze the psukim directly? Go into Tazria Mitzora, go through the different approaches to the psukim, and then try to derive your suffix from there. And that's exactly what it's coming to tell him. That imistabcha l'chamilta b'negayim ayin b'kroi. That indeed, if you have a problem that isn't mavur heitev to you in the halakas of negayim, open up the chumash. This is a big thing, because normally we take a look at the Mishnah as being something that is mevusis on the Chumash, but I mean, we're talking mena banecha mehigayon, keep your kids away from learning Chumash only, because then they start thinking in ways that have nothing to do with the whole way that the Torah is structured in order to be bringing out things halacha. Here it's saying that those parshas are specifically meant to be providing you the data, which is remarkable, and that you can actually look directly into the Chumash in order to be Mevarah. Alon, could you polish your camera a little bit? It's just very annoying not to be able to see you properly. You think it's only the light behind you? Okay. All right, so that would be an afkamina l'halacha in terms of the Olos. We're telling you, look at the difference. You're learning Olos. You have a suffix. You're going to have to go into the details of any Gemara that talks about those Mishnayos, because it's like hopelessly complex based on very little material that you will be able to directly access in the Chumash itself. Okay. So it does make an afkamina not simply to have the different sets laid out, but to contrast them. And that's why we put them together in such a way, even though it caused us a bit of confusion over here. Now, the next thing that you said in the Mishnah, you said that the dinim yesh lemamashi yismachu. I mean, that's something of a British understatement. Dinim yesh lemamashi yismachu. I mean, it's like so many details of dinim in the Torah. What do you mean they have what to rely on? They've got like absolutely clear halachas, no? Why is that amashi yismachu? Michtav k'tiv, and they're spelled out, aren't they? No, no. Let me give you an example of something which actually, from the way that you would read it, you would conclude wrongly, at least according to Rebbe, because, look, we've got this whole sugya about that comes up very early, right, in Mishpatim. So you've got two guys fighting, and they punch a woman, even though he was trying to punch his friend or stab his friend, whatever he's trying to do, he's trying to kill his friend. He ends up hurting a pregnant woman. She loses the vladot that she had. So we have two situations over there. So it starts off with the v'chi yinatsu anashim v'nakfu isha hara v'yatsu yiladeha. So then it says, v'lo ye'ason. So if there is no great tragedy, meaning that the woman didn't lose her life, so then anosh ye'anesh, they're going to have to pay kasher yashita lav ba'al ha'isha v'natan b'flili. So he's going to give that money, he's going to be sued, he's going to have to pay in court b'flili. But then it says, but what about v'ima son yiyeh, then v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh. Which is mashma, that even though the guy had no intent of killing this woman, it was basically she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, that he's going to be chayav misa. So, okay, that would be the way you would read it if you feel that the din is spelled out. Right, but Rebbe says that's not the halacha. Rebbe says when it said v'ima son yiyeh minatata nefesh tachat nefesh, that is referring to money. Money. I mean, isn't that the whole point? He's saying lo yason, then he pays kasher yashit alav ba'al ha'isha. But if there is, so then apparently there's a death penalty. So how do you explain that money? Atomer mamon lo eino elo nefesh mamash. So in other words, what Rebbe is saying, that hamitkaven laharog et A, vaharag et B, that he's going to be putter and from Misa, and he's going to pay. So ataomer mamon, maybe it means literally nefesh mamash. No, says Rebbe, can't mean that, because, I mean, we have over here two psukim, one after the other, talking about vinatata, right? So one is vinatata nefesh tachat nefesh, and the other one is vinatan b'flili. So that means that it is the same concept of nemra netina lamala, nemra netina lamata. So just like the netina that was said lamala, it says beferish v'natan b'flilim, so that means mamon. So then when it says v'natata, the nefesh tachat nefesh would mean the mamon of the isha that you would have to pay. Now, of course, this is a little bit of a problem, because the reason that you would not be chayav misa, according to Rebbe, is because of the fact that you were miscaving to kill someone else, and therefore it's considered to be a shogeg, right? We're not going to be chayev yumisa on a shogeg. It's a karav lemezi because you were trying to kill someone. You won't be chayev golas, but you're not going to be chayev mis. Problem is that we have a concept of kom le b'derab amine. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, kom le b'derab amine applies even if you're not chayev misa b'poel, but you did something that could have been b'chayav yumisa had you done it under the circumstances which were b'meisid and basra and so on. So therefore, this whole Gemara does not make sense according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rebbe can't possibly mean you're chayav mamon in this case, since it would be a case of chayav misa shogegi. So, I mean, like, how does this Gemara just say, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with the Mishnah, with this whole analysis? It's going a little bit of Rebbe. So Tarsus says, look, I mean, there's another Rebbe about ayin takas ayin with mamon. So maybe we're referring to that, according to him. Okay. Anyway, but it's important to realize that there are two possibilities for being potter over here. One in terms of kamlei b'derab amine, and the other in terms of the halacha that we're talking about over here, which is that miskaven lahar gazet. Okay, next. Avodot. So we're talking about Avodot have what to be Samechan. What to be Samechan? Oh my gosh. You realize how many halachas are spelled out? Absolutely. Where to put the dam on the Mizbeach and who puts the dam and so on and so forth. I mean, that's like completely spelled out, isn't it? Michtav Ktivan. Well, no. There's actually one thing that cannot be called spelled out. I ask you, what's the din of the Kohen when he's carrying the dam after doing the Kabbalah Sadam? So the Kabbalah Sadam is an Aved. So, because it says Beferish B'nai Aharon, Kiblu B'nai Aharon. But what about walking with that dam till you get to the Mizbeach, and now you're going to sprinkle the dam on the Mizbeach? So now I understand the Mizorak, obviously, or Benassan on the Chatas. Those are obviously Avodas, right? And I understand that the Kabbalah, that's B'nai Aharon. So that's for sure an Avoda. But what about the walking? Could the walking be done to carry the dam? Could that be done by a Yisroel? Or could it be done by a Kohen who's not wearing his Big Day Kuhuna? Or let me ask you something else. Suppose the Kohen has a Machsheves Pigel during the Holocha or about the Holocha. Not about the Holocha, because it has to be an end. Only that is Pigel. But during the Holocha. So what would be the din? Is that Mephago or is it not Mephago? That is not spelled out. Therefore, comes along the Gemara to explain that when we say Yesh Lama Mashi Yismechu, that's referring to the halacha of halacha Saddam. And the reason that halacha Saddam is different than anything else is very simple. I don't need it. What do you mean? Well, suppose I did the Shechita right up against the Mizbeach. Okay? It's kosher the Shechita, right? So I did my Shechita by the edge of the Mizbeach. I'm right next to the Mizbeach. I saved myself the trip. And now I do the Kabbalah Saddam, and then I take the dam that was Mekabel and pour it directly onto Mizbeach. What's wrong with that? So there I managed to do the Avedas without ever even doing a halacha. That is called an Aveda she'efshar levatla. You can simply cancel it. Logistically, I don't need to do it. So if it isn't required, it ought not to be on the same madrega as the Avedas that are absolutely essential, that they become definitive about the korban. Holocha is certainly not definitive. So what's the din by holocha? Ah, so there we have the pasuk, v'hikrivu. So what is the hikrivu referring to? Because what it sounds like is, v'shachatit ben abakar lefne Hashem, v'hikrivu b'nei Aharon ha-kohanim et adam, v'zorku et adam. Now, you must admit that they can't bring the dam close, which is what the word v'ikrivu means, before they're mekabel the dam. I mean, what does that mean, v'ikrivu? There was no dam. So therefore, the v'ikrivu in that case could only include the Kabbalah Saddam, right? So then why in the world would the Torah use the wrong word for Kabbalah? Why wouldn't it say v'kiblu et adam? Because even though v'hikrivu is definitely refers to the Kabbalat Adam, as well at least, the word hikrivu, however, is used elsewhere for the process of walking, bringing something closer to the Mizbeach. Where is that? Like by Holachat Evarim. Over there it says, v'hikriv ha-kohen et ha-kol, v'hiktir et now, there it's talking about the Evorim, HaKerev HaKra'im, Yerchatz Pamoim, and then the Kohanim should bring the whole business to the Mizbeach. Now, it can't mean Hikrivu in the sense of bring a Korban, because the end of the Pasuk says, Beferish, V'Hiktira HaMizbecha. So, they haven't done that yet, so then what is the V'Hikriv HaKohen? Obviously, bring it close, literally. Walk it up to the Mizbeach. So, we see that is a lashon of holacha. If I utilize the lashon of holacha for Kabbalat Adam, then I'm telling you that holacha has the same din as Kabbalah. And that is Yesh Lamashi Yisbahu, but it certainly is not spelled out. And therefore, it comes to refer to that in the Mishnah. Yes, there's a lot of written material, and yes, we can figure out what the dinim is, but no, it's not necessarily spelled out. That's the beautiful point that the Mishnah is making. Okay, then we had Taharot, I mean, also spelled out. What do you mean? Yesh Mamash Yisbechu. Michtav Ktivan. Yes, but there's a very important din that is not Michtav Ktivan, and that is the shear of a mikvah. So it says, go into the water. V'rachatz b'mayim et kol b'soro, and so on. Yeah, it does say that, but what is the mayim that it's referring to? I mean, this important dinim, gosh, oh, mesechet mikvaot, and that's all it says? So then it's not spelled out at all, is it? D'tanya, v'rachatz b'mayim et kol b'soro, That must be referring to mei mikvah, because it says ba-mayim. What do you mean ba-mayim? You mean just like wash in water? So it doesn't say bimayim, in water. But if you say ba-mayim, it means in that very special water. What special water? So that's got to be referring to mei mikvah. Rashi says the mei mikvah over here means the not mayim she'uvim, which Tosfos disagrees with very much. And it says it can't be referring to mayim she'uvim because we have completely different mukar for that at all. We learned it out from Ach, Mayan, Ubor, Mikvei Mayim. On the contrary, says Tosfos, I mean, if anything, the word of bamayim in terms of a mikveh would mean water that is collected, not that isn't collected, because it's dafka not the same thing as mayan ubor. Mayan is fresh water. I don't understand why would Rashi say that special kind of water, mei mikvah. I mean, I don't know. Most people would think mei mikvah is like a bathtub. I mean, so it's bedavka yes she'uvim. No, sistosis. Therefore, what it's referring to over here is a completely different idea. And that is that the water cannot be moving. So it can't be leaking out because we need to have dafka ashborin. A mikveh is not metahir bezochalin as opposed to natural spring water, which is metahir bezochalin. So that would be the point of ba'mayim. Okay, but in any event, the point that concerns us over here about the shear of mikveh is et kol bisaro. And that's where we learn out the shear of the mikveh, where we analyze mayim sheko gufo olebem. You'd have to put kol bisaro into the water at the same time. And that would require an ama by an ama to fit in a median body, and it would have to be three amot high because you can bend your head in such a way that the space you'll take up is three amos in height, and that's one by three. Now, the Chachomim analyzed the number of sa'a, which we've done together, and they discovered that that would be a shear of arba'im sa'a, and that's what is meant with bamayim. Okay, now you say tmeot. I mean, like the Torah gives us a very nice spelled out list of everything that's tamei. So what do you mean when you say they have what to rely on? They don't know what to rely on. They're spelled out. Michtav kniva, not true. Do you know what the shear is for tumas sheretz? No. So that is not spelled out. And that is a very special shear we don't have anywhere else. And that is the shear of a ka'adash, so a lentil. Where do we get that from? Ka'adashim and asheretz, that is not written anywhere. And the way that we derive that is from something al-mashi yismachu, yes, but it's a brilliant analysis of the pasuk. Ela hatmeim lachem, on the one hand, b'chol asheretz, kol hanogea bahem bimota. Bahem. Okay, so you have this vision of you've got this dead sheretz, and you've touched the dead sheretz, bahem. The problem is that when it comes to talk about tuma affecting kli eitz or beged or or, there it says, kol asher yipol alav mehem. And mehem means even a piece. So I mean, so make up your mind. Certainly not going to say Tumas Magav and Adam is a different shear than the Tuma that is Nefel on Kalem or Beged Or, right? So how do you explain a contradiction of the Psukim? On the one hand, referring to what appears to be the entirety of the Sheretz, Bohem, and the other one, which says, well, it doesn't have to be the entire Sheretz. It could be just part of the Sheretz. The brilliant solution is to say that the part of the Sheretz has to be the size of an entire sheretz, in the sense of potentially. So take for yourself, what would be the smallest possible size of a complete sheretz, bahem? Well, the smallest possible size would be the first appearance of a snail with its actual deposited shell. And that is the size of an adash. Then it keeps adding to that. But the original shell of the snail is a kadasha. So that would mean wherever you have a shear of an adasha, doesn't matter how enormous, maybe a million adashim in that bahem, but a mayhem that is the equivalent of that minimum shear is going to be machayev of you. to be Mitaya, beautiful. So that is Yeshama Mashiach Maku, but it certainly is not spelled out. Let's see that inside. On the one hand, it says Bahem, then that would mean the whole Sheretz, right? Yocho Bekulam? No. Tamad Omer Mayhem. Okay, so then if it's Mayhem, Yocho Bemiksatam, so any little bit, right? No, because it says Bahem. So I'd explain that. Okay, it's not. And what is that? First stage of a snail's development with its shell is a ka'adasha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I think that the correct shear would be basically the shear of a zanav alita'a. That's where it comes from. So in other words, since we find a part of something that acts as if it's alive, there is a mayhem that is a bohem. And what would that be? That would be the shear of the lizard's tail, because the lizard tail pretends to be alive so that it's muscularly twitching, and it gives the sense of chias to a predator, while meanwhile, the lizard gets away. But that would mean that the shear, that minimum shear, would be the shear of the zanav alita'a. That's a very cute way of understanding the pasuk, right? Okay, next, arayot. We've got two whole big parshios in Achrimos and Kedoshim describing arayot. Now, how in the world could you say, well, there's what to be semech on, there's what to be semech on? Man, you couldn't spell it out more clearly, right? Michtav k'tivim. No, there's actually some elements of the arayot that are not spelled out. Even though you'd think that it's called spelled out, but remarkably, we'll see why we call it not spelled out is itself a chiddush that we call it not spelled out. And that is talking about the iser of sleeping with your own daughter who you had bedafka through raping a woman and not through marriage. Now there, it's located, obviously rape doesn't mean necessarily rape, but in other words, without any kind of kedushin. So there it is not written in the Torah. Now you'll say, what do you mean it's not written in the Torah? Sure, of course it's written in the Torah. On the one hand, I understand. It says, let's get straight what the two sugyas are in the Torah so we can understand what the Gemara is referring to. On the one hand, it says, Ervat isha ubita lo tegale, et bat binat, bat bita lo tikach vegalot ervata, sha'ara heina. Now, remember, wherever it uses the word sha'ara, it means that you have a shared flesh. That is to say, it's in the isha ubita, it's your wife, with whom you have a relationship. Now, that would mean that in this case, you are talking about a woman who has her own daughter or her own granddaughter. So your usher, even though they're not your daughter, not your granddaughter, but you married this woman, so then you're not allowed to sleep with her daughter or her granddaughter, right? Okay, but that's all referring to Isha, which is Ishut, Shara. Now, we have a whole different pasuk that talks about ervat bat bincha o bat bitcha lo tegaler avatan ki ervatcha heina. Now you were talking about your own granddaughter, the erva of your daughter's daughter or the daughter of your son, but it somehow managed to leave out your own daughter. It only talks about your granddaughter. Why is it talking about your granddaughter instead of your daughter? So how do we know that this covers your daughter as well? And why wouldn't this be anyway, if you are married to the woman anyway, your usher in the joint granddaughter that you have, right? I mean, so why do I need this pasuk? So obviously, this pasuk is referring to a victim of a rape or a relationship that wasn't in marriage. It's an out-of-wedlock granddaughter. But what about an out-of-wedlock daughter? So you'll say, well, come on, Minotaur is even ushering an out-of-wedlock granddaughter, Koshikain, an out-of-wedlock daughter, right? No, not right. And that's one of the interesting things that we derive from this whole sugya, which is that you cannot use a kavachomer to create an iser or to give an onesh. So we have a klal which is called Ein Mazhirin Minadin, ve'ein oneshim min hadin. So therefore, it's all very nice to say it's a kal v'chomer and that it may all be logical, but that does not satisfy the requirements of the halacha. And therefore, I would not be able to give hatra'ah to somebody who's sleeping with his daughter if it's not a wedlock daughter. So, you know, the guy says, it's not really my daughter. I mean, you know, I wasn't married. So it's just like any other girl. But the Torah says you can't even sleep with your granddaughter that you weren't married for. Well, that's a granddaughter. This is a daughter. So how do I know, in fact, and this is what it's referring to, how do I know, in fact, that the daughter is included and it's not considered to be a case of utilizing a kal v'chomer to create an iser and asaras lav? That I know from Rava quoting Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avudimi, very famous drasha. Amali Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avudimi, the way that we know the two halachas, A, that there's an iser, and B, the chiyav that is involved in this iser, I learned that out from a dual gezeirah shava. First of all, I need to learn out from Hina Hina. There I learned that it's usher to sleep with the daughter. And then I learn out that the chiyav is a chiyav of sreifa from Zima Zima. Now that is based on the Torah, but it's not michtav ktivan. So yeshlo alma lismoch. That's the point. So what we have, therefore, is we have the word hina in both cases, in which case we could compare the isurim of your own daughter together with your wife's daughter. And therefore, since in both cases it uses that word, we therefore are able, we have ervat chahena, and that ervat chahena therefore comes to tell me that the same halacha would be true both about the out of wedlock, which we call me anusato, or with the one where your wife has that one, which is called the eshes ishto, which could be your own or only hers. So therefore, put those two together, and you've got yourself the iser. Masha ein kein, when it comes to the chiyav of sreifa, so by the iser, that is with a woman, isha ubita, it says sha'ara heina, zima hi. And by the onsin, it says ervatcha heina. But since we've darshan heina heina, we can now use the zima that appears in the Isha Ubita Sha'ara Heina Zimahi, as if the word Zima appeared in Bito Me'anusato. But once we know that Bito Me'anusato is called Zima, then I can learn that Zima from the Parsha of Isha V'ima Zimahi Be'esh Yisufroto Ve'aten. So now that means having established first that Zima is part of Heina, and therefore, Heina is included in the din of the Isser, I can now establish from the other comparison to the Isha together with her mother, which is called Zima. And that's the categorical Zima where it's defined. What do you do when you have a case of a Zima? Be'esh Yisrafu. That is a little bit complicated. You can't say that that is spelled out, can you? But it certainly has a Mash Yismachu. Absolutely. Okay, continues the brighter that we had over the Mishnah, rather, the closing of the Mishnah. Hein, hein, gufei Torah. So these last cases, which are yes, they've got a lot of psukim. What, those are the only things that are gufei Torah? The first ones that you called, hararim atluyim besara, those are not called gufei Torah. Hani in anachlo, ela ema hein vehein gufei Torah. Whether we find them in great detail in the Chumash, or we find them as Harorim, Teluyim, Besara, is irrelevant to the way in which we need to relate to them as being the very Chefta of the Torah HaKadosha. And now for a very special prepared word, Hadran Aloch HaKol Chayavin. Lovely. And so, having ended the previous perek with the arayot, it feels very smooth to get directly into, when we're talking about gufei Torah, to get into the modality of learning about arayot. So this is in terms of the structure. But as we've mentioned so many times, the inyan of chagiga is basically the concept of re'iyah, and that is seeing things that are not physically seen, but are rather understood. So now the question is, I mean, we've had all of these limitations going into the Beis HaMikdash. How often can you go in? Do you have to go in with a korban? Are you allowed to go in without a korban? Is there a limit to rayon? All of these concepts talked about Ri'ya, and we started the beginning of the Masechet at the onset of the Perek. We talked about the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Ro'eh you, and you're being Ro'eh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way that even physically limitations in Ri'ya end up meaning that you are not shy after participating in Ri'ya, which is remarkable. But then that should mean that there are limitations on the conceptual Ri'ya too. And in fact, there are. The limitations on conceptual Ri'ya are the development of your intelligence and the development of your consciousness. So that is what we need to consider over here. So the Mishnah tells us, but Pashtus, it seems to be saying, Ein dorshin ba'arayot bishlosha. Bishlosha means if you've got a group of three people, you and two people, then you should not be discussing arayot. That's what it seems to be saying. Velo b'ma'aseh bereshit b'shnayim. If there's you and one other person, then you should not be discussing ma'aseh bereshit, which has to do with the secrets of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. Which seems to be saying you can't, even if you're alone, you can't be learning about Maaseh Merkava. We'll discuss what exactly it's referring to, but that seems to be what the Mishnah is saying. But then it contradicts itself, because, I mean, if it says you can't learn about Bidoresh Merkava to yourself, that's what it means, Biyachid. So then the next piece doesn't make any sense. I mean, you can't be Dorish the Merkava to yourself unless you understand the Merkava. But then it says, oh, but you could if you understood the Merkava. So what you say, you can't. I don't understand. I mean, that's what we're talking about over here, right? Okay, so we're just going to restate the Mishnah. Instead of saying Bishlosha, Bishnayim, Biyachid, it would mean Lishlosha, Lishnayim liyachid. So then it ends up making perfectly good sense. If you've got three people, you can't give them a drosha about arayot. If you have two people, you can't give them a drosha about ma'aseh bereishis. And even an individual should not be taught unless he is able to understand things and has developed consciousness. Fine. So it has to be mevin midato. So he has chochma bina and dat note here. Chocham mevin midato. If a guy gets involved in weird kind of thoughts, he'd be better off and it'd be more appropriate for him never have to have come into a world that not only can he not understand, but he decides to weirdly warp. So that would be, he is worried about things like mala mala, mala mata, malifni, mala achor. Again, we'll discuss what that means in a moment. Anybody who doesn't care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, it would be more appropriate for him not to have come into the world. So, another question is, what exactly is this referring to? I mean, so let's say, the Rabbeinu Tam gives his shout over here, Ma'aseh Bereishis means to know the shame of 42 osios, which is merumas in the first two psukim of the Torah. Okay. I mean, yep. That's all that Ma'aseh Bereishis includes. I mean, we know the Rambam talks about Ma'aseh Bereishis as meaning basically science. And he says, you know, all of the Dvarim, he even refers you to Greek books to learn Ma'aseh Bereishis. So, I mean, that's not exactly the same thing over here as Shemos, which seems more involved in Ma'aseh Merkava. Now, the general sense of Ma'aseh Bereishis is the structure of reality. The general sense of Ma'aseh Merkava is the structure of Hanhaga. Those are very different things. So the structure of reality is basically the static sense of, okay, how do things come into being from Yichud? Whereas Merkava, Bedavka, moves around. And the concept of a Merkava, therefore, would be, okay, how do we get from point A to point B in terms of a response to the works of an Adam, to the Maisim of an Adam? And what is the responsiveness to that? That's a completely different kind of issue. So we understand that the two things are very, very different. Gavi, remember what it said about tefillin, that if they're round, it's a sakana. You're wearing tefillin that have a sharp edge to them. And it says if you bump into the door, it could puncture your skull. So, okay, that's better. It's a bit nerve-wracking. See, there we go. That's not going to hurt anybody. Beautiful. That's a nice twist on tefillin, let me tell you. Okay, so the question over here, therefore, is, all right, so what's included in those constituents, right? It's good that we understand. This is the way Rav Tzadok explains the general idea. The general idea is clear. It's important to know that. But the question, what are the particulars? So now, in terms of what the particulars are, all of those who are Isaac in the question, what is considered to be within the realm of something that is Ein Dorshin, all agree that the halacha doesn't change at all, but the content changes, obviously, because what is considered to be very dangerous and mind-boggling in one generation is considered to be the purview of kindergarten children in another generation. And that is true both in terms of Maaseh Merkava and in terms of Maaseh Bereishis. So things that once would have been very dangerous for people to consider. So let's say the discovery of evolution. That was very dangerous at one time because the way that would work out in terms of being a deeper connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only wasn't evident, but it was initially seen as taking a person away from belief in Torah and so on and so forth, right? As time went on, it became more and more evident that these are the only way to understand my separations. This is the way in which one becomes more aware of the presence of HaKadosh, so on and so forth. So obviously, what was once usher then becomes mutter, then becomes a mitzvah, and so on. The same thing would be true. That's in terms of Maaseh Bereishis. Now, in terms of Maaseh Merkava, the same thing is true. It used to be a very simplistic understanding that people had, so that even learning Iyov at any great level, like the Rambam explains the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Anhaga and so on there, and the way that it's hidden. That's why it was called Nister. Exactly. We even refer to this limud as Nister, learning Teras HaNister. What is Teras HaNistar? So once upon a time, the questions of Hanhaga that would be dealt with on a level of Purim were considered to be Nistar. I don't understand. Doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu run the world? Like, how can the Rambam say a person can do whatever he wants, even against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? That sounds to me like he's saying that you can do without God. I mean, these are childish issues, obviously. But once upon a time, they weren't childish. Once upon a time, adults had the minds of what today is a five-year-old. And this is not something far in the past. This is something that I know. I know the difference. And I think anybody was just talking to Naftali. Naftali was pointing out the difference in the children. It's totally different. It's like the Zohar speaks about the way that Likrat, the coming of Mashiach, that the children will be different. There will be neshamas that are not recycled, the way the Zohar puts it, recycled neshamas, in which they keep thinking the same way that, you know, humans who are essentially animals used to think. This is very recent, a lot of these changes. And therefore, what was once considered to be the purview of Gedolim and so on, and they can handle these secret ideas, is like a Dover Pashut nowadays. And it's because of this that the discussions about, okay, what kind of sforum or mutter to publish, or what kind of usher to publish, or what is considered to be nister and what is not. And this changes all the time. And it changes certainly by decade and possibly even faster than that. So the generations are in a process of development. And as the Zohar points out itself, the process of development is a geometric process. Because if you take a look at the sixth day of creation, Adam appears towards the end of the day. And you have all of this other development. I mean, that means that in terms of the spreading this out over geologic time, I mean, it's unbelievable what the extent of the geometric and the logarithmic scale is insane. You've got all of these species that are hundreds of millions of years old, and you get this silly little Homo sapiens that are like a couple of thousands of years old. And like all of a sudden, there's this amazing that they're sitting around trying to get fire out of sticks. And then they're sending spaceships to Mars and flying around in helicopters in no time at all. I mean, this is, says the czar, a mad explosion of logarithmic scale. And so Mamela, the czar says, the same thing will be evident to you in terms of human development and in terms of human consciousness. So obviously, this is, by the way, again, if you want an indication of how much things have changed so quickly, it was only a few hundred years ago that people questioned what the czar could possibly mean. Since we already know everything, how could there possibly be an explosion of knowledge towards the time of the 6,000th year in which Adam is created? I mean, there isn't anything we don't know. This was just a few hundred years ago, Rabos. I remember it was at the end of the 1800s where physics hadn't discovered like 99% of what's going on in the world that people were told not to bother studying physics because there's nothing much left to do. So this is that old truism of, you know, what's that movie with the guy, you know?
Truman.
Truman, yeah. Truman, everything's been discovered. You know, there is no place that you can go, right? Okay, so this is obviously a changing thing. This is spoken out in halacha. And even the Ein Darsh and Ba'arayas is spoken out in halacha. Even Reb Meisha discusses the issue of the changes. So there was, there's a tshuva. This is a tshuva like from, you know, 60 years ago. So there's a tshuva about one of these magazines where they published in this, he didn't want to mention the name of the magazine. I'm assuming it's one of the, you know, Orthodox magazines where it's open to anybody to read. So they had an article about issues that had to do with birth control and so on. And somebody asked Reb Meisha, what is this mutter to have in it? And he said, this is not this in this country where like all people are looking for is having fun. And now you're going to tell them how to have birth control. And this is mamish ein darsh and ba'arayas. And it's not roy, even though there are certainly tshuvas about these things that are printed, but those things are only open to Talmidei Chachamim and so on. But to have published in magazines that women and children are reading, that is ein darsh and ba'arayas b'shlosha, clearly. So saying that we cannot give a clear-cut definition because the scale is always changing. Okay, so now, and therefore, basically, as Tosfos says, really in the end of Malamala, Malamata, Malafni, Malaocha, remember, there too, it was really, it was so simplistic. So, okay, what's like behind the universe, you know? What if we go forward? What if we go backwards? What if we keep going up? Okay, we look at those questions as being infantile kinds of questions. But I mean, when it comes to the structure of time, you know, how is it that we view time? That, I don't know, it's still very, very unclear. So as Tosa says in the end, whatever it is that is exciting and not viewed as childish at the time, but really does not address anything in people's understanding. That kind of thing makes people weird. And not only does it make people weird, but they come out with understanding of things that are also bizyonos in terms of understanding the nature of the Torah. So again, of course, if you would have taken evolution the way the early response was to it, so then it's eno chasal kvot kono. The Gemara is going to ask what that idea is, eno chasal kvot kono, so that we'll get into later.
But really today, people ask these questions. There's a huge amount of apikoros in the world because of it. And a rejection of our Kaddish Baruch Hu to ask questions.
Which questions?
Of what happens before the universe.
There's a huge amount of
when they think about these things, it leads them astray. They're very dangerous still.
Okay, so then if they're still dangerous, to me, they're childish, but if they're still dangerous, people are looking at me. You know, I know it's difficult to judge. You need to know what people are thinking. I mean, you hear the most incredibly stupid kind of conclusions that people have on things that are like, you know, exactly the opposite of what they think. I don't know how they get there, but you're right.
If the Rebbe is exceptional, most people aren't.
Okay, so if it's still a problem.
That's my life positive. Most people are stupid and they're dangerous to most people.
Okay, I'm not saying what you can say to everybody. Fine. Okay, I don't know. So maybe I make mistakes in this issue, thinking that people are more intelligent than they are. All right, so let's move on. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah makes no sense. If we read the Mishnah with the base, Bishlosha, and we're talking about Bishnayim, so then you're contradicting yourself. First you say, below Ben Rakava, you can't use your own drasha to yourself. But then you say, unless you're a chacham mevi midaita, which obviously you're doing if you're giving yourself the drasha, make up your mind. No, you're right. Sorry. It should say, ain drasha barayot lishlosh, lo b'maitse merkava lishnayim, lo b'merkava liyachi, elim kenaya chacham mevi midaito. That is the point. So now, if we're talking about, let's go through it now with that understanding, says the Gemara. Okay, so in Darshin, we said Barayot Bishlosha. Why would that be? I mean, maybe it's just because the Torah is Merames, that you're supposed to be specifically limited, because it says Ish Ish, El Kol She'er Besoro. So that's the Lo Tikrevu. Okay, so that's Ish Ish, that's two people. And then you've got She'er Bisoro, so then that's three people, Lo Tikravu. So don't be expressing Legalot Erva. So maybe some kind of remez in the Pasek that you should not be Migale Erva, meaning the Inyonim of Arayos. I mean, if you're going to darshan a Pasek like that, I mean, that's weird. But what about Ish Ish Ki Yikalel Elohav? Ish Ish. Asher Yitain Mizar Olamolach. So you're going to say the same thing over there, that it means two people together, but there's no chiyuv of an individual in being mekalel. I mean, giving a child to Molach. So, I mean, the reason that it says Ish Ish over there, each one of them has a drosha. Ish Ish is coming to be Marbe over there, that the goyim are usher on Birchas Hashem, they're usher on Avodah Zarah, even though they're not Yisrael, they're Ish Ish. So then here too means the same thing. This, we need to know that the Nochrim are included, Lotagalu Erva, Lotagrivu Lagalot Erva. That's true about Goyim as well, which is true. So the Goyim are Mitzuvim, as in some of the Arayas, as Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. So it's not a Pasuk. So maybe it's from Ushmartem et Mishmarti. Maybe it's not the Pasuk of the Arayas per se, but I mean, it does say in general at the end of all the Arayas, that you should be shemer the mishmeret. Shemartem is Lashon Rabim, referring to two people. So you two people should be shomer a mishmarti, which is one person. Levilti asod michukot ha-tevot. So you should not be reading about or thinking about these things. So then it says shemartem et ha-shabbat. Shemartem et ha-matzot. So it means the same thing over there. Shemartem et mishmeret ha-kodesh. You're telling me over there that you only have two people that need to be involved in the Yisr Chometz, or the only two people together are involved in the din of Shmira Shabbos, or you're not allowed to learn about Shmira Shabbos. I mean, come on, that's crazy. So that, obviously, that's not the way to read the pasuk. Ella Amravashi, no, look, we have to understand the din in the Mishnah differently. Of course, it can't mean that you're not allowed to give a shir on the din of Arayas. That's ridiculous. It must be. My ein darshin barayos b'shlosha, ein darshin b'sitrei arayot b'shlosha. What it's talking about over here are sitrei arayot. Sitrei arayot must be referring to those, the Rasha understands it like this. Sitrei arayot, he understands as the inyan of the interrelationship of Yibum with the Yisr Erva. Right, because over there you see that erva is a plus, not a minus, becomes a mitzvah. So that it seems to be a function of how you're thinking about it. Oh, now once people start hearing that, oh, really? Well, I'm thinking about it. Okay, so then they'll figure out ways in which it would be, in which it would be okay. Or others learn that adarabah, well, all that it means is the simple things like we just had over here about Bito Miyanu Soto and so on, because that's a Seser, it's not written Beferish. says the Tosafot, what do you mean? It's a mitzvah to teach people about the things that are written first in the pasuk. They don't need to know about Bito Mianasata, but there's some kind of weird reason not to tell people like that. Sitrei Arayot, according to the Tosafot, Rid means the things that people don't know about, which they think are arayas, but are not really arayas. Don't tell them about it. Let them have their general sense of, oh, that's bad. Maybe it isn't bad, but don't let them know, because otherwise, who knows what they'll do? Okay, fine. Or we find very often in general, there may be a kulas, this shita, and that shita. Don't be mefarsim in the kulas, because people will put together their kulas. Many different approaches. What do we mean by pasuk? But whatever it is, it's a logistical question, not a pasuk. It simply is because, look, if you've got two talmidim and the rav is defining something to them, so betrei kiyat v'kamei rabbi uchat shok v'tori b'hadi rabbi v'idach matzli udnei v'gemora. If you've got two people, then one of them is going to be talking to the other if he's talking to one of his talmidim. So that would mean if you've got two people, fine. So you can have one that is talking and the other one listens, because they have anything to do but listen. But if you've got three, then one is talking and two are talking together. So when they're talking together, they are not paying any attention. So and they don't know the details of what the Rebbe had said. And because of that, they get this general impression that something is okay. And they may well end up to be mashri isura b'arayah, since they didn't hear clearly, they may be matir something. So I understand, why is that a riot? I mean, that's true of anything. You should say you can't have three people in a shir at the same time, because two of them are not going to be listening to the rab and they won't get the halacha straight. So they'll have the wrong concept of what the gidanasha is, where the gidanasha, what does that have to do with the riots? No, riots are different, because the omar mar gezova riot nafsho macham datanu mitabelem. So since everybody loves a riot, so therefore, they will find some kind of excuse, you know? Oh, so then why did you say gezo? You said people love to steal. I mean, okay, so they love taking other people's things. So then you shouldn't tell them the dinim of stealing either. That's true. But you see, gezo is opportunistic. Arias is fantasizing. Now, nobody fantasizes about stealing, right? Okay, so then you've got two completely different issues. Aha. So arayot ben bifanav ben shelo bifanav nafish yitzrei. You've got very intense desires here, whether you're in the presence or not in the presence. So therefore, the chances of your misreading, because you want to misread, are very high. Mashen ken gezel. I mean, if he doesn't have an opportunity to walk off with the diamond ring that was left on the table, he doesn't think about doing such a thing. It's just suddenly when it appears, without even thinking, he suddenly puts the ring in his pocket, you know? Okay, so that's a different type of being nervous that we don't understand what the Rav said. So gezel only b'fanav, but shelo b'fanav, lo nafish yitzrei. Okay, then the next thing. V'lo b'maisa b'reishis b'shnayim. How do we know that there's a problem with maisa b'reishis? The Tanur Rabbanan. It says in the Braita, the Pasuk mentions, ki sha'al na le'yamim arishonim asher hayu lefanecha. So what that means, she'al is lashon yachid. So that means a yachid can be sho'el, but two people cannot be sho'alim. So that means that you can have two people in being interested in all of this stuff, because they'll go off into weirdness. Yocho yishal adam kodim shenivraha olam. So you might think that you can ask about, okay, what happened before my separations? No. Talmud lomar lemina yom ha-shebar alim adam al ha-aretz. That can only ask about the things from the day that humans existed. Oh, so then if that's the case, so then we could only ask from the sixth day of creation, because that's when humans existed. But we're not meant to ask any questions about the story of my separations, which begins on the first day, and it talks about the Haaretz Haisa Tov Vavo. Is that what you're saying? So Yochul Lo Yishal Adam Misheshet Yimei Bereshit. Ah, no, that's why the pasuk said, Liyamim Arishonim Asher Hayu Lefanecha. You are allowed to talk about the days, but those are the only days because there were no days. The days began to be defined as days with Yom Echad, Yom Sheni. Those are days. So those days, yes, those you're allowed to think about and talk about. Yocho Yishalada Malamala Malamata Malafni Malachor, as Alona said, these very dangerous questions, whatever the heck they mean. Talmud Lomar, Ulamik Tseah Shamayim Vat Tseah Shamayim. You can only think about things that are part of the universe. But Inatashua Malamala Malamata or Malafani Malachor. So outside of the universe's dimensions, you want to escape time, space, and you've got all kinds of thoughts about that, you're just going to end up a weirdo. And therefore, that is out of the running. Okay, Rabosai, that gives us a wonderful beginning in this new perek. It's going to be filled with all kinds of exciting things and should bring some smiles to your faces. Moshe Forman is looking very down. We want to put a smile on his face today. There we go. Okay, so now we can hope everybody's got a smile. Apparently, he had a rough Shabbos. That's understandable. Now I see the reason it was a rough Shabbos. Okay. Kotev, everybody. Have a great and wonderful Shavua Tov of all types of Besuras Teves. And remember that there's always the possibility that today is Oshias Amecho Vorechas Machalos Secho Reim Venasem Ad Olam. So that's what we have to be prepared to. Putin's not the only guy making plans in this world. Remember that. See you all. Kol Tov. And don't forget Bill Gates, as he has so cogently warned. You ain't seen nothing yet. You're worried about pandemics. Believe me, the next one is already working itself out.